You stand with me, please, and we'll read the scripture together. Let's turn to Romans 5. Very important. How many of you have ever been physically healed by God? God has healed you physically. Just raise your hand. Yes. Wow. Great. How many would like to be healed by God? Raise your hand. All right. Do we believe that? Yes. We believe that could happen. Romans 5. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense, would you like to read this out loud with me? Yeah, let's do it. Ready? One, two, three. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Are you righteous? Yes, how did it happen? By one man's obedience. All right, you may be seated. Yeah, by one man's obedience, we have been made righteous. So this is imputed righteousness, legally given to you and I, that we are saved and righteous before God. In practice, we are not perfect. Righteous, the meaning of righteousness is this 100% righteousness by the obedience of Christ, right? By one, the obedience of Christ. Was Christ obedient? Yes, he was righteous, 100%. Are you? No, in practice, in my life, no, but this is imputed. This righteousness, his obedience has been imputed to us so that we are declared by God to be righteous in the mind of God. He made a decision in his mind that you and I are as righteous as Christ. That is a great gift. It's called an unspeakable gift. It's a gift. It meaning you do not pay for it before the gift or after the gift. You do not pay for this gift of righteousness. Therefore, we are thankful. We are worshipers. We are appreciating the gift. We are secure, very important word, secure in God. He is my friend, my father, he is my savior. I will never leave you, never forsake you. He wants you to know that his love is everlasting. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Jeremiah 6 and verse 3. Would you turn there with me? Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm sorry, 3, 1. I said 6, 3. It's 3, 1. I don't know how that happened. Chapter 3, verse 1. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted or defiled? The woman has been with another man. Would I take her back again? But then he says, in this regarding Israel, but you have played the harlot with many lovers. You've had many men, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. What? Return again to me, saith the Lord. You've had many lovers, but return to me again, saith the Lord. How could God say this? But because he loves Israel with an everlasting love. She has played the harlot. She has had many lovers. She's been with many men. It's a figurative way of saying, we know it as people, what adultery is and what breaking trust is and what betrayal is, what lust is, how it can break up people and families. And yet God says, yet return again to me. Why? Because his love is an everlasting love. And for us, we are believers who realize, you look up at the screen, the only one that was obedient was Christ. And it's his obedience that is imputed to you, that is given to you as a gift, that is yours, that is mine. How did we get it? By one moment in time believing, meaning here is your life, your history. At one point in time, you believed, so that was enough. Romans chapter 3, we read this, 1 Corinthians 15, first three verses. You are justified by faith, Romans 1:17. Very important. Our salvation and understanding salvation, very important to know the nature and the character of God. This is incredible. You might say, but Pastor Shal, if you teach that, then we can go out and sin. Yeah, you can do that. I mean, it's not a picnic. Haven't you done it already? Haven't you been empty, lonely? Haven't you had a broken heart? Have you ever been addicted to anything that destroys your body and your mind and your soul? Yeah, that way, the way of the sinner, the transgressor, is hard. But the way of love, the way of faith, the way of the Spirit is much better. I read a verse, it's Proverbs 15:19, I believe. Let me think. I think it is. It says, the way of the transgressor is like a swamp. Yeah, I don't remember the word. But we've got to turn there. What is it? Is it up there? I'm sorry. Is it? Well, oh, okay, there it is. Yeah, okay, got it. The way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns. This is the verse. Yeah, it's a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Actually, there's another translation. It says, but the way of the righteous is a highway. The way of the righteous is a highway. So I was thinking of 95 is a highway, no stop signs, no traffic lights. It's a straight shot all the way up to Canada, all the way down to Florida. It's a highway. But if you get off the highway and these little back roads, it's a different life, different way to travel. And the Spirit of God wants you and I to live not a life that is hedged with thorns, but he wants us to find love, the character of God. We'll look at this character of God, and we put here the word love and truth. Okay, so let's go to our text. We have Jonah, the prophet Jonah. And chapter 2. Verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. So he was swallowed by a great fish. Actually, it happened recently up in Cape Cod. A scuba diver got swallowed. He got into the mouth of a whale, and the whale, you know, spit him out, and he got banged up. The scuba diver survived. But in this case here, the fish swallowed Jonah, and he's alive in the fish's belly. It has happened before, by the way. You can read about it. It's not impossible that a man would live in the fish. He can live, and it happened here. There's a story about a man who lived one day in a fish. The fish was caught. They had no idea, but as they opened up the fish, the man was there and alive. So it can happen. Here it happened with this prophet who ran away from God. Do you run away from God? Have you ever run away from God? Could you run away from God? Right? Turn to your neighbor and just answer the question by talking. Make your confession. Yes, yes. Yes, why is he talking about that? Yes. We're going to go to this chapter, Jonah, and read more, but I want to show you something about being in a tight place, being in a narrow place, being cramped in life. This is 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 11. O ye Corinthians. Corinthians were the church people that lived in Corinth, and Paul had lived there 18 months and discipled them. The Spirit said to Paul when he went there in Acts 18, stay in this city. I have many people in this city. Paul stayed as a missionary church planter, and he lived there with them, teaching them and discipling them. But they were also known for their carnality as Christians, kind of on the surface. Pagans that got converted, the conversion was real, but they also struggled with their jealousy, envy, and party spirits. They said, I am of Apollos, I am of Paul, I am Cephas, I am of Christ. So they had a carnal mind about life. And I want to show you what happened. Verse 11, our mouth is open unto you. That means we are teaching you. We are talking. Our mouth is open, meaning we are talking, we are teaching. He wrote two epistles that made it into the scriptures, but he also wrote another letter that did not enter the scripture, that is lost and not scripture. And he was sorry he wrote it. And later he said, I'm sorry, I repented that I wrote it, but then I didn't repent because it made you sorry in a good way. It made you sad, sorry, and it helped you be corrected. So he said in verse 11, our heart is enlarged. And from that verse, I want to say the very, very fundamental message today is, as your heart enlarged to include other people, is it enlarged to include God? Is your heart enlarged to include the church? Is your heart enlarged to include love? Or is your heart shrinking like a raisin or a prune, a dried fruit, shrinking and shriveling to include only your family or include only your dog or include only your hometown or only your own society of friends? But Paul said to the Corinthians, my mouth is open to teach you, so your heart is to be enlarged. Okay? Good thought. You know, how many people fit in your life? They might get eliminated. Oh, I'm not talking to him anymore. I'm not talking to her. I'm not going there. I'm not ever going to do that again. I mean, some of those things may be wise, but be careful, because when Jonah was in the fish, that narrow place that he was in could also have included God. I'm in a narrow place. Even God isn't here. I'm in so much trouble. Even God cannot save me. Okay? Look at the next verse, 12. You are not straitened in us. The word is cramped, narrow, like the narrows in oceanography or whatever that's called when they make the maps. Narrows, where the water is, you know, narrow between two bodies of land. So straitened in us, like you could hear what we are saying, and you could say, oh, it's too narrow. Oh, you believe in doctrine or dogma. It's too narrow for me. It's too narrow. But here's a paradox. When truth comes to you, it actually leads you into something big. Truth sets you free. The gate may be narrow, but once you get in through the gate, there's a wide, it says in the Psalms, God has set my feet in a large place. If you ask Christ, what is your kingdom like? He would say, I have all power in heaven and earth. I was in a narrow place on the cross, right here on the wall over here. Narrow. But my heart was large to believe and trust in my Father. So Corinthians need to learn something. You are not straitened in us, but in your own bowels, in verse 12. Meaning, we haven't oppressed you or cramped you, but you are cramped, but in your own emotions. The word bowels is for the inner part of your belly, your gut. And it's the ancient word. It's a word they use for emotion, like kidneys. What's another word? Your intestines, your bowels. It's for the feeling and emotion. The lower nature of man is the bowels. And this is where they were living in their sorrow and their pain and their wounds. And they were cramped by it. They were narrowed by it. So we're going to teach from Jonah 2 how to deal with this, because we want you to leave today understanding that the trouble you have in life does make us feel like, how do I live now? How do I live with this stuff that happens in my life? Let's draw a little picture here of a guy, and here's his wife. Okay, there's his wife. We can call her Lucy. And here is the stuff of life around her and him. And here is the way he has maybe some children and bills, and he has a job, and he has different things that happen. Like we're using Jonah to say that my heart is not enlarged. Actually, there is anger, frustration, fear. I have a lot of feeling in my life, and I feel the pressure. Paul had it in 2 Corinthians 6. There's a good list there of words. I'll read them to you. We have honor and dishonor. They're couplets. Verse 8, evil report, good report. People say we are deceivers and yet true. We are unknown, like nobody knows us, but we are well known by certain people. This is in verse 8 and 9. Is chastened, but not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, in verse 10. What do the couplets mean? He's saying, we have trouble, but we have God. We are sorrowful a lot. Very sad. We are in trouble. We have no home. We are rejected by people. But God knows us. It's like a good picture of a life that is being lived. And he's including what? Watch. He is God. And this is where you and I want to live. Is that in our world here, like in the whale or in the fish, we want God with us in it. And this is where Jonah, this is his prayer in chapter 2 of Jonah. So that's what we want to say today. And hopefully you follow it with me in your life, in your heart. It's a message that you can carry the rest of your life and say, I know my heart could get small and I could exclude people and get angry and become a bitter man. Many times when I talk to people that work in nursing homes, they say old people are usually one of two kinds. They are either old and grumpy and bitter about life, or they are sweet and thankful for what they have. Time has an effect on us. And if my heart is not enlarged to include God, then I have a good chance of becoming very narrow. And that narrowness that I feel, I get straightened or narrowed in my own bowels or in my own life, where it's not fair what has happened to me. It shouldn't have happened to me. It's not right what happened to me. It ruined my life. Let me teach you a very important lesson. Never forget it. I'm going to ask you to remember it. It goes like this. I told the high school, You're driving down the highway one night, a drunken driver plows into you, you lose your leg in the accident. The driver goes to prison. I lost my leg, so I'm a teenager and I lost my leg in an accident. So how am I going to think about it? There's one way you could say, that man in prison who ran into me, he ruined my life. I lost my leg. My heart gets small. It doesn't include him. I hate him. He ruined my life. No, he didn't. You cannot give that man the kind of authority that you're giving him. You cannot give him that authority. He doesn't have the authority to ruin your life. That man cannot ruin your life. You can ruin your life. What's wrong with that picture? It's this one. The world I live in, let's see, I can draw another color here. It's this one. This one, the red one, is the world that people live in. And they say, you ruined my life. I can't say that. That's not from God. That's not from God. Who took away my leg? God did. God took away my leg. This could not have happened without God. God took away my leg. Why did he take away my leg? I do not know. But I'm going to include God in my life, right? How about this color? I want God in my life. So now how do I say it? I say, God, that accident happened and I lost a leg, and apparently you want me to live my life with one leg, and I'll go to therapy and I'll live the best I can. And this is about because I believe in you. Because I know your character. I know your nature. And by the way, God, I forgive that man for what he did. He must feel very bad about it. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. But maybe I could go minister to him and say, listen, I forgive you. Listen, this is about God. And God loves you. God sent me here to tell you that God loves you. That God is a living God and that God cares about you. What happens? My world is enlarged. The same grace I receive, the same grace I give out. My world is bigger than me and my bowels, okay, my feeling, my wound, my pain, my life is bigger. We have God in our lives. Isn't that amazing? It's true. It is. This is a challenge for us. I'm not saying it's like automatic. I'm not saying that there's anything mechanical about it. I'm saying that if we could seek God and walk by faith in God, God will show up. That if we understand that God is loving me in this short lifetime that I have, and that he wants to teach me so that my heart is enlarged and I'm not straitened or cramped by my own life, my own feelings about things. Okay, so go to Jonah. We'll read it, how it happened with him here in chapter 2, in verse 2. It said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell cried I, and you heard my voice. What is that? Out of the belly of hell. Have you ever lived there? Where hell had, we haven't gone to hell, Psalm 139. But if you make your bed in hell, like some kind of hell in this life, God is there, and his right hand will lead you. He is the good shepherd. He will lead you. Verse 3. For you had cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about, although thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Ask and turn to your neighbor and just say, who could destroy your life? Who could destroy your life? Answer. Answer. Nobody. Nobody can. Pharaoh cannot, Herod cannot, nobody can. It's God has given us life, eternal life. Ask Jesus, say, Jesus, who could destroy you? He would say, I am on this cross willingly. I am submitted to the Roman authorities. They put me here, but this is the plan of God. My heart is bigger than their hatred. They say, now we got him. We will nail him to the cross. Now we hate him. We will destroy him. Christ is there saying, forgive them. They don't know what they do. My life is bigger than them. I'll be raised from the dead in 3 days. Like Jonah was in the fish for 3 days, so I will be in the grave for 3 days. But I will rise where my Father sent me, and I am fulfilling his will. Read verse 4. Then I said, I am cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. You cannot stop me from looking at the temple. I'm in the sea. I'm in a fish. I don't even know what direction the temple is in. Where is Jerusalem? I have no idea what is up or down or right or left. I am east or west. I don't know where the temple is, but I will look at the temple. I will look at the God of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will trust in him. In verse 5, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Seaweed wrapped around the head. Imagine. You see, in a tight place, the woman you married, the man you married, the children you have, the neighborhood you live in, the job you have, the people around you, whatever it might be, the addictions you have, the fears you have, whatever it might be, it's all wrapped around you. It's called cramped quarters. I wish I didn't have this. But Jonah said, in it, I will look to the temple. I have something from God in my heart. I have faith in God. I have faith in God. That's what I have in his mind, his heart. That's what we have to include him. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That God is speaking to this man who is in a lot of trouble. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars are about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He could feel the victory already. Even in the whale, in the bottom of the sea, he could feel the upward pull. He could feel the presence of God. He could sense the victory that he had in God. Even when he was very low, the Spirit of God was ministering to him and delivered him from corruption. Verse 6, You have brought up my life from corruption. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into your holy temple. But you're in a fish. Yeah, but my prayer went into the temple. Yeah, but you're in a fish. Yeah, but my prayer touched God. Yeah, but you're in a divorce case or your second divorce. Yeah, you're in trouble in your life. Yes, but my prayer entered into the heaven. My prayer went to God. I have God in my life. I have the Spirit of God in my life. I have the anointing of God in my heart. I have the Spirit of God in my trouble. Listen to this. He's in the belly of the fish, but what is in Jonah's belly? There's two bellies. There's the belly of the fish, and then there's Jonah's belly. What is that? What is in my belly? I've got fire in my belly. I've got the Word in my belly. I got the Spirit of God in my belly. I got the mind of Christ in my belly. I've got the Bible in my belly. I've got the body, the fellowship of God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that dwells in our hearts. So I'm in trouble in a prison, nursing home, hospital. I'm in trouble. My body's falling apart. As our body is falling apart, it says the outer man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. We have something going on in our spirit and in our heart that comes from God in the midst of life. Do not remove who you are in God from your life because of your trouble. Don't quit. Don't say, I'm done. No, you got to get closer to God than ever before. You got to say, I need it more than ever. I need God. I need not, I lost my leg. He ruined my life. I lost my money. I don't have anything. I lost my relationship, my son and my daughter. They never call me. I have no birthday card from any relative. I got a bitterness growing up in my heart. I am beat up in life. I am really beat up in life. What should I do? And the answer to you and everyone is the same story for Jonah. Don't give up. When you're down, down deep, turn. Remember the temple, the God of the temple. And your prayer enters in. Look at what it says. It says, Verse 8, they that observe lying vanities, observe, important word, lying vanities. Vanities is another word for idolatry, lies, vanities, empty lies, things that have no profit, no value, they are lies. They do not deliver. They do not live. They are frozen, static ideas. They cannot deliver us. We that observe them, follow them, believe them, we forsake our own mercy. We forsake our own mercy. Let's read it. Verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Is there mercy for a one-legged man? There is mercy for a one-legged man. Can that man live a life like Jacob? Remember, he wrestled with God. He came away lame, but his life was so big and rich. Though he lost some ability physically, he gained something spiritually. For God said, you have power with God and men. And when he prayed, because Esau was going to kill him, Genesis 27:41, Esau said, when my father Jacob dies, then I'm going to kill my brother Jacob. I'm going to kill him. And Jacob knew it. He was afraid of Esau. He was afraid of Esau. Esau will kill me. He knew it. I stole his birthright. He will kill me. I know that guy. He will kill me. I know it for sure. So he prayed. And the Lord said, you got power with God and men. He's not going to kill you. I'm going to protect you. What is the value of including God in your life? The value is astronomical, above and beyond we could ever imagine. Don't forsake your own mercies, but observe truth, not lying vanities, not ideas that just kind of bubble up in your own mind. Learn to get a word from God, from the Bible. Learn to read your Bible. Learn to listen to messages. Learn to live by body life. Have friends in the church. Draw near. Have a good rap session. Have a good conversation with somebody for 3 minutes or 7 minutes or 10 minutes. Learn how to hear and listen and be spirit-filled people. When we are spirit-filled people, we edify each other and we grow in our faith. And we may be one-legged, but we got a bigger heart than ever. Our lives are enlarged. We're not in a narrow place. Look at the rest of it. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. That was already settled when he was in the fish. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And basically it means time's up. Job's done. You were in cramped quarters, but it's over now. It ended. The fish is going to spit you out. And he gets up on the beach as a prophet, and he goes to do his job. Still, there was a lot of work to be done in that prophet. We read that in Jonah 4, but the lesson is clear. And it is that, you know, your suffering may not go your whole life. I don't know about that. I do not know how it works, but I do know this, that sometimes when we turn to God and include him in life and build on him, he can change things. I know that he can answer prayer. I know that he can change situations. And I want to encourage you in your families and in your lives. I want to encourage you with a lot of hope and encouragement and say to you that our God is a living God. Our God cares about us in our details, our daily food, our friendships, our relationships, our vision, and our mission. That he's a living God and he answers prayer. Don't give up. Draw near. He will draw near to you. He will hear us and answer us. Amen. Lord Jesus, many times we get cramped quarters and we have some temptation just to suffer a lot and complain a lot and grumble and be unhappy and get discouraged and get down. We are tempted to get really down in life and just listen to the news and talk about the problems and just suffer because of the incredible sense of trouble that just generally is there. But we learn a lesson today. If we could seek you, Jeremiah 29:13, if you seek me with all your heart, you shall find me. Maybe that's what's missing sometimes. We just say God in a general way, but we are not searching and seeking with all our hearts. With all our hearts, we are seeking you, and we find you like Jonah did. With all our hearts, God, we say we need you, Lord. We are worshiping you, and may our prayers enter your sanctuary and hear them in heaven and answer us, Lord, and restore our soul and encourage us. Yes, Lord. Use a message for this week and all of our lives. We never depart from you in our faith in you, no matter what happens. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. And then anyone listening who has never made a real decision regarding Christ, do you believe in him or not? Whose son is he? Who do you say, who is Christ? Is he a prophet? Is he just a good man, a good teacher? Or is he the Christ, the Son of God? Make a decision today and say in your heart to God, I accept Christ. I believe in him and I want him in my life. Save me, Jesus, I pray. Christ will answer you. God will answer you. God saves you. You are forgiven. You are 100% righteous in the mind of God. He imputes it to you. You are a child of God. Talk to God like he is your father. Christ is your savior, your friend. In Jesus' name, amen.